The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
And so the kindness and the love of God is a human being. It's a person. He said, NLT said, when God our Savior revealed his kindness, Amplified made it very clear. He said, but when the kindness and love of God, he said, the goodness and loving kindness of our God, of God our Savior to man, as man appeared. And so it's not just the kindness of God that appeared to man, he appeared as man. And so the kindness of God is a person. Are you getting the point? You can find that clearly after he said that in verse 4. In verse 5, he said, not according to our works, but according to his mercy. He saved us. Who is the he there? The kindness of God. Are you getting me? So Jesus is God's kindness. Jesus is God's love revealed. So I know the love of God. Come on, say, I know the love of God. I know the kindness of God. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the love of God. Furthermore, you understand that this Jesus, it's not just God's love or God's kindness. This Jesus, I explained that in the afternoon, is, but let me take it a step further. This Jesus is God's logos. Look at John 1 verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, if you get to verse 14, you will discover that the Word he's talking about here was Jesus. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word made flesh. Is that very correct? Now, in John verse 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. That word, Word, do you understand? The word, Word, in that verse 1, is the Greek word Logos. Logos. So in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Are you following me at all? Now, and did you get that? Now, people say things like, well, Rhema is the spoken word, Logos is the written word. That is not really very correct. Do you understand me? It's not really very correct. It's not really very correct. Say, I need a Rhema. And most times, what they call a Rhema is nonsense. Just talk nonsense. That's Rhema. Or talk something that's not in the Bible. You say, it's a Rhema from God. No, no. Praise God, though. Praise God. The Logos is not. Some people go as far as saying the Logos is the letter that killeth. Ah, come on now. Calm down. The letter that killeth is not referring to the Bible. The letter that killeth is the law. Do you get the point? Praise God. People say, you read Logos, I read Rhema. Stop it. Will you just stop already? It's okay. Do you understand? You know, if you don't know what to say, just speak English. And so this word logos is it means, in fact, that's where we get the word logic. Are you getting the point? Logic, intent. What other term? What course did you do in school again? Logic and critical thinking. Is that word logic that appeared here? And so in the beginning was the logos or the logic. Amen. The intent or the reasoning or the thought pattern. Are we still correct? Are we still correct? So a man's logic is his thought pattern, right? So in the beginning was the logic, the thought pattern. That thought pattern was with God. That thought pattern was God. So what was made flesh was God's logic. So Jesus is God's logic. Jesus is God's thought pattern. Jesus is how God thinks. I didn't get the point. And so when he was walking the earth, he was walking around showing us how God thinks, how God reacts. When he met sicknesses, he showed us how God reacts towards sicknesesses. When he met poverty, he showed us. So anything you see or you saw Jesus do towards a thing was God's logic towards that thing. I get what I'm thinking about this, isn't it? Are you following me? Now listen carefully. I'm going to pray for miracles, but you have to listen to my message first. There are two things that make a miracle meeting very powerful. One is the word taught. Two, the instructions given. Miracles are responses to instruction. If I say shout, shout. If I say roll on the floor, roll. That's where the miracle comes. Sometimes the miracles that accompany, the instructions that accompany miracles can be irrational sometimes. Jesus saw a man. Or Elijah said, man, I said, go and bap 7 times. That's why if the only thing we are requesting of you is to shout amen. Shout amen. Are you following me at all? You come and then listen to the message first. You can't sleep throughout the message. And then when it's time, say, I receive. What are you receiving? Nothing. What is going to happen is you will really receive the miracle, but you cannot sustain it. Because you didn't hear anything. You just received what you don't even know. That's by the way. So Jesus is God's third pattern. And so in Jesus, we see what God is like. And so the kindness of God, that's what I'm trying to say, is who? That Jesus is God's. So the kindness of God is the thought pattern of God. So God's thought pattern is kindness. So God is always kind. I said that in the afternoon, right? God is always kind. You know, when Thomas was talking with Jesus in John 14, verse 6. Is it verse 6? In verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. Okay, verse 7. Okay, go, let's start from verse 5 before... Either 5 or 4. Yeah. He said, Lord, we don't know. Thomas was asking. We don't know where you're going to. How can we know the way? But since Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father except by me. Verse 7. If you had known me, did you see that? You should have known. So anything you see in Jesus is what is seen in God. So I said in the afternoon, God is not a mystery. God is not unknowable. If you want to know God, simply look at Jesus. He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. So he's saying, you have seen God. How did they see God? When they saw Jesus, they saw God. God is not known in Elijah. God is not known in Ezekiel. God is not in Jesus, not in Moses. And so he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Okay, verse 8. He said, Philip said unto him, Lord, Philip didn't still understand. Show us the Father, and it's okay for us. Show us the Father. Then Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. So if you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is God's intent, God's logic. On two legs. That's what we started in the afternoon or yesterday to talk about. And we also explained that Jesus showed forth that God's intention or that God's kindness. He showed it forth fully in salvation. Do you remember that? Salvation was the revelation of all the intent and the plan of God. All the kindness of God was shown in salvation. I don't want to go over that because I explained that in the day. Now, so salvation is the ultimate revelation of God's kindness. Now, listen carefully. This is a mixed crowd. I don't know where you're coming from. So I'm going to say this and take it very easy. I've heard people that are in this same Christocentric circle who have said this same kind of things. But then, I always try to correct this every time we come for a meeting. But then they say things like, salvation is the only revelation of God's kindness. So healing is not God's kindness. Miracles are not God's kindness. Prosperity is not God's kindness. It's only salvation. Listen carefully. Are you following me? Pay very close. Let me clarify this. You see, and if you're not careful, when you start thinking that way, it will not be long. You will start invalidating miracles too. Very soon, you will think you can get these things on your own. And very soon, you stop believing God for miracles. As many people today don't believe God for their prosperity. Have you seen such people? There are people that don't believe God to prosper them financially. They feel it's just about hustle. Just hustle, you make it. Well, it's good. Praise God. You can hustle and make it. Just really be ready to hustle. Amen. Did you get the point? Really be ready to hustle. And really be ready to get to where the natural can carry you to. Now, so salvation is God's the ultimate revelation of God's kindness. But that salvation, not even but, that salvation, of course we are forgiven, right? We are righteous. These are effects of salvation. But then that salvation has what I call secondary effects. Secondary effects. Look at Matthew chapter 6 verse 30. Matthew 6 verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of? What was he promising here? Huh? That God will provide clothes for you, Abby. Yeah. Very well. Next verse. Therefore, bring it down. Take no thought, saying, what shall we, or what shall we, or wherewithal shall we be? So he's promising food now, drink, and clothes. So he's not just promising food, he promised rice and exotic. Do you understand the point? With fine suit. You get the point? Now, look at that. Now, verse 32. I'm saying this for a reason. He said, for after all these things to the Gentiles. So he's saying, why are you worrying yourself over these things that the Gentiles are worried after? Are worried about? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of what? What are these things? The things he has mentioned. Clothes. Is that true? So God knows you have need of them. So these things. Now, verse 33 now said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all. What are these things again? The things he mentioned earlier. Are you getting the point? So what he's saying is, your passion should not be these things. Your passion should be the kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these things are secondary effects of the kingdom that you have found. Do you understand it? Did you get it? And so salvation is from sin. It's not from sickness. It's not from poverty. It doesn't make anybody rich. It's not, salvation doesn't mean God has saved us so that we can have money. That's not salvation. But in salvation, and I'm going to explain to you how it happens. In salvation, you can have all these things as secondary effects of what has happened spiritually. Now, I explain this to you three so far. Let me show you an example. Let's use Abraham for instance. How many of you know that Abraham believed in God? You know, right? Look at Romans 4 verse 3. Romans 4 verse 3. For what said the scriptures? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for what? So what did Abraham believe? God. What did he believe God for? Now that's where you have to be very careful. People say, well, Abraham believed God for a child. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. He said, well, that's what the Old Testament said. Well, listen carefully. In fact, God did not directly promise Abraham about having a child called Isaac. No. That was what you understood. That was not what the Bible said. Look at Galatians 3:16. Let's see what Abraham believed. Galatians 3 verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. So God made a promise to Abraham and to his seed. Is that very correct? He said, and he said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is. So the promise God made unto Abraham about his seed was not talking about Isaac, he was talking about Christ. Did you get it? If I stay confused, pay very close attention. Go to verse 14. Look at the screen. That the blessing of Abraham might come on who? Through Jesus Christ. What is the blessing of Abraham? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so the promise God made to Abraham was not actually about an Isaac. Isaac just came. Okay, the promise was about the coming of Jesus. But then Isaac had to come for Jesus to be able to come. Did you get it, Jesus? So when God told Abraham, a seed will come after you, he was not referring to Isaac. He was referring to Jesus. So what Abraham believed was not actually the birth of Isaac. What Abraham believed was the coming of Christ. Is it confusing? Is it? Let me explain it further. Do you realize that? Okay. Everything God told Abraham was spiritual. So go back to that Galatians 3:16. To Romans 4 verse 3 rather. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him. Okay, even without all this explanation, with the normal Bible sense that you have, what is it that a man will believe and it will be counted unto him as righteousness? I didn't get the point. You cannot believe that you are going to have a child and it will be counted to you for righteousness. It's not possible, is it? So what Abraham believed was what Jesus was going to do. The coming of Christ and his sacrifice, and God counted it to him for righteousness. I'm trying to show you that Abraham actually received righteousness by faith. I'm trying to show you that Abraham was actually saved, but saved in a promissory note. You know what that means? He believed what Jesus will do. The difference is that we believe what Jesus has done. I didn't get the point. So what they had in Christ, what they had in God, were promises. What we have today is not, we don't have promises. I didn't get the point. We have received it. It was promised to them. That's why Hebrew 11 verse 39, look at Hebrew 11 verse 39. He said, these all died. Look at it. 39. These all have, okay, having obtained a good report through faith, okay, received not. So who are these all? Everybody mentioned in Hebrew 11. Abraham, Isaac, just look at Hebrew 11. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them. Bible said all of them died without receiving the promise. So the promise God made to Abraham was not Isaac, because he received Isaac. Are you still here? It wasn't Isaac. So they didn't obtain the promise. These all, obtained a good report through faith. They had faith. They believed in the coming of Christ, but they did not obtain that promise. Put up another translation of this verse, verse 39. And these people earned a good reputation of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. Are you following me at all? Come, are you still here? So Abraham's, the promise God made to Abraham, or the promise Abraham was looking forward to, was not a child called Isaac. It was beyond that. In verse 40, look at verse 40. Go back to King James. In verse 40. God having provided better things for us, that day without us. So it was our coming, our days, that is the coming of Jesus in our day, that will now make what they believed perfect. Do you get the point? So they believe what will come. We believe what has come. Now, why am I showing you all of this? Abraham believed something spiritual. Sarah too. So when Hebrew, please let me clarify this. When Hebrew 11 is talking about faith. It's not for faith for miracles. It is the fact that they believed God for salvation. Sarah believed God for salvation. Cain, let me run you through that Hebrew. Go to Hebrew 11 verse 1. Now faith is the... How many of you know that's not the definition of faith? That described here is the faith of the Old Testament guys. Our faith is not the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. No, what we believe we have seen. Are you following me at all? Their faith was the substance of what they had not seen. Is it big English? What they had not seen, they had a proof of it. That proof was their faith. What we believe is what we have seen. What has happened. If you are still there, say amen. So you now see, you now begin to read down verse 2. I'm going to skip, just rush, go to verse 2. Let's go. Verse 2. He said, by it, by what? What is the it there? By that faith, the elders obtained. So this was the faith of the elders, the guys that lived before us, before the coming of Christ. From verse 4, he began to talk about Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a sacrifice. I get the point. verse 7, he spoke about Noah. Look at what he said about Noah. He said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his soul, of his house. Listen, by the which he condemned the world and became what? Heir of the righteousness which is. So what did Noah believe? Righteousness. Do you understand the point? So, but they died without receiving it. So why are you taking us through all this? I want you to understand salvation. So what they all believed was spiritual. So the faith in Hebrews 11 is a spiritual thing. In fact, let me take it a step further. I did this at Razor Facts. I explained to you that... Are you here? I explained to you that when God told Abraham, leave your father's house to a land I will show you, that was not a physical place. Now, some of you think God told Abraham, leave your father's house. Abraham said to where? He said, a land I will show you. And you think Abraham found the land? Are you following me? Abraham left, but did not find the house or the land. Before I get to that, look at verse 13. Thank you, Jesus. He said, this all died in faith, not having received. They didn't receive what? What did they do? They saw it afar off. So that promise was not about Abraham. It wasn't about Isaac. Are you getting the point? The promise was Christ. They saw it afar off. And we are persuaded of them. And they embraced them and confessed. So they saw it, they accepted it, but they didn't touch it. Do you understand the point? Let me talk about Abraham a little further. That's Hebrews 11. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. See, Abraham went out, don't know where he was going. Now, let's see where he went to. Let's see what the Bible said. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker. So what Abraham was looking for was a spiritual thing. Are you following me at all? What Abraham was looking for was not a city built by men. It was a spiritual city. A city whose builder and maker is God. Are you following me at all? Are you still here? So he looked for that city whose builder and maker is God. And so everything about Abraham, what he received, what he believed, was spiritual. Including Sarah, right? Now, look at why I'm saying all of this. Look at verse 11. Through faith. Which faith? The faith for salvation, right? The faith for spiritual things. Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed through a spiritual faith. Okay, right? Through faith for a spiritual thing, or rather, through faith for salvation. I used to hear Sarah received strength. So even though what Abraham believed was not, or what Sarah believed was not faith for Isaac, she believed faith for Christ. But that faith in salvation gave her strength to bet Isaac. And so we see how a lady believed for salvation, and that fact ministered strength to her to have something in the physical, because she did not conceive Isaac spiritually. Are you getting me at all? To conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So by believing for salvation, you do not, if you believe God, if what you believe that you got saved is that you're going to have money, that's not salvation. You do not receive salvation. You're not saved. Come out again for altar call. If what you believe was that God will heal you, that's not salvation. Salvation is definite, that Jesus has paid for sins. Amen. But believing that through that faith. So what I'm saying is that there is provision for physical and material things in God's kindness. You know God's kindness is salvation, right? In that is kindness. There is provision for material things. There is provision for healing. There is provision for success in God's kindness. You know, people say things like, well, that since unbelievers can have anything, then it cannot be offered in Christ. That's not a very correct statement. You know why it's not a correct statement? Because unbelievers can have healing. And yes, healing is offered in Christ. Do you get the point? Unbeliever can even have cure. Somebody can be sick. Take an atheist. A doctor will administer malaria. So if unbelievers can get cured, does it mean that healing is no more authentic because unbelievers can have it? That's not a correct statement. I didn't get the point. It's not a correct statement. The only thing is that those things are not exclusive to people in Christ. Anybody can have it. But being in Christ will give you an edge. Are you following me at all? Now let me show you something. In 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 10, a dramatic thing happened. David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom. So they carried the ark of God and kept it in the house of a man. Do you know what the ark of God is? It represented to them the presence of God. So they carried that ark and kept it in a man's house. The man called Obed-Edom. That ark was the presence of God. It was a spiritual thing. Is that correct? The presence of God. But look at verse 11. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So the presence of God, entered Obed-Edom's house and the Lord blessed him. 3 months, everything changed. Now, we carry that presence of God in our inside. So it can change this in the physical. Are you following me at all? It's God. 3 months, they kept ark, a figure of God's presence. Do you understand the point? A shadow of the presence of God. They kept it in the guy's house. 3 months. I would say the Lord blessed Obed-Edom. Say, I know this is spiritual blessing. Will you stop that? Stop it. Look at verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom. If it is spiritual blessing, people will not see it. They saw it. They told David. It was a visible, tangible blessing. They said, and all that pertained unto him, because of the ark of God. Hallelujah. Are you getting the point? Because of that ark they kept in his house, everything, they were so sure. In 3 months. And so, receiving the presence of God. How many of us have the presence of God in our lives? That's the Holy Ghost, right? That is Jesus himself. Receiving him in your life can cause things to change in 3 months. And I'll show you how it happens. If you don't agree with what I'm saying tonight, you will live all your life without maximizing some of these things. And there's nothing wrong with it. You will just live normally. You get the point? You just live a natural life. Graduate, go to school, get a job, come out. I'm not saying you'll just be a normal human being. You just stay. You get the point? Get things in the natural. Work, start, slave, get a job. Just come out. Be a good person. Enjoy your life. When you get sick, you go to the hospital. When it is terminal, you die. Truth. Because when the doctors say they cannot help, you die. Because life is all about natural. The only thing you have in Christ is salvation, spiritual things. When you are sick, you die. When doctors can't help, hallelujah. When you get to the place where your certificate stop, you can no longer move. You now start going to school again. I cannot live my life like that. Let me tell you, if everything you get on earth follows the natural order of things, something is wrong. Remember I told you that? You cannot live your life and it's following the natural order of things. Graduate, get a job. No, something has to defy natural order. It's the supernatural. Like I get the point. Supernatural. 3 months, everything changed. So David went back and brought back the ark. whatever he did in that house, let it come back to my house and do the same thing. Painfully, the presence of God was carryable. And it could only be one place per time. But today, you get the point? We all have that presence. So it means people should be able to look at you and see tangibly that there is a working of God in this person. Not just about righteousness, which I've been explaining since yesterday. Amen. And I'll get back to explaining it even tomorrow. Not just about those spiritual things, but I mean tangibly. It can rot physical things. I stopped believing this, and I'm telling you, for long. Because we are doing Rema. Amen. Salvation is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. For some time, I was just saying, everything is spiritual. God does not, is not interested in your prosperity. God does not care. I said, you see, God will just be sitting and watching you. And you know, you don't know what you are saying. And if you have been saying those things from this meeting, begin to say the opposite of them from here. I get the point. How can God, there's a chapter in my new book called The God Who Is Involved. How can God not even be interested in your life? Forget Bible self. No, think about it. Which responsible father would do that? Think about it. So the kind of presence of God there, it changed everything. In Luke chapter 5, I want to show you something. Peter was fishing. I like this story. I was looking at it within the week. Luke 5 from verse 1. By the way, the creativity did a very good job here. This is beautiful, is it not? Very, very beautiful. Appreciate them. You're not a witch. Come on. Very beautiful stuff. Amen. Okay. Beautiful, beautiful. That's hard work. Just come and change the whole place. Praise God. Be like creativity. Okay. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, okay, and saw two sheep standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. Okay, so by washing their nets, what does it mean? They were done, they were ready to go. Now, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught people out of the ship. So, he collected Peter's sheep. And started using it. That meant his agenda was truncated. The plan of going home. Do you understand the point? And he didn't just collect it. He collected it and sat down and started teaching. I know how Jesus teaches. I know Jesus now. My mentor. Praise God. And so he started teaching and taught the people out of the sheep. So he collected the sheep for a pulpit and for everything. Now, so in other words, Peter gave his sheep for ministry. Do you say like that? He gave his sheep for ministry. Now, notice, because motives matter here. He did not give it because of any miracle. I don't get the point. That's why I said, if what you believe Jesus for is for miracles, you don't know what salvation is. He did not give it because of any miracle. He just gave the sheep. Okay, now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a drought. I feel like speaking to somebody this night. Launch out tonight. Yeah. Launch out. He didn't do it because he wanted a miracle. He just gave it. That's how we do ministry. We don't do this for what we're going to gain from it. If that's why I do ministry, you have a terrible mindset. That is a very terrible thing. Which you have to work on. Are you getting me? If I minister for money, you better quit. Get to Onishamen Markets. Come, I'll pray for you. You open shop. And you will do well. Big shop in our boss Afia. Ebideva, just gradually you'll be coming up. For you have shop in Onisha, market, you have shop in Alaba, different places. Ministry spreading. If that's what you came out for, and God will not be angry with you. I hope you understand that you have shop, isn't it? But is it a button? Have shop. Oh. He said, yes, sir. but that is not why we serve the Lord. So, Peter just said, put up like an altar of this verse. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets. to catch some fish. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 5. Master Simon replied, "We worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so..." Go back to the King James. I wanted to see something. He said, "Nevertheless, at your word..." Go back to verse 4. Don't miss it. He says, "Let down..." What? "Your nets." How many? Plural. Jesus said, "Throw everything in." In verse 5, what did Peter do? He said, "I will let down the net." He didn't even believe for so much. Are you following me at all? "I'll let down the net." You said net. Well, at your word. So there was even a little unbelief in his heart. That's why I tell you every day, flashes of unbelief in your heart cannot invalidate your miracle. Once in a while, there are doubts that arise in our hearts, two of us. Once in a while. So, in verse 6, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break." It was when they let it. It didn't break. Hallelujah. It didn't break. Okay. "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." God can give you a net breaking miracle. Yeah. Hallelujah. Just by giving out your ship for service. I get the point. Just by giving out your ship. Just for ministry. That's not our passion. That's not our reason we are giving out the sheep. Amen. But God can give it to you. Look at Matthew 10. Mark 10 verse 29. "And Jesus answered..." Okay, look at verse 28. Because some of you are asking this question tonight. Okay. "Peter said, 'We have left everything to follow you.'" And some of you, that's your testimony, right? "We have left everything. We've given up on our pride, on our everything to follow you." They were not following for material things. They just said, "We have left everything." Jesus now told them something in verse 29. He said, "There is no man..." Yeah, I love the word of God. "There is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel. No man that ever does it." Verse 30. "But he shall receive..." How many? "An hundredfold." He say, No. That is spiritual. Will you shut up? What you left was not spiritual. What that is not spiritual. Amen. A hundredfold now in this time. Now. What the hundredfold of what? He knew you were going to say is spiritual. So he now added it so that you will not say. House. He said, "No, that house is spiritual. It's house in heaven." You know, I take scriptures personal. Recently I saw houses. I said, "So it's not a crime to have houses." It's not a crime. Have a house in Enugu. Have one in Lagos. Have one in Abuja. Have one in everywhere. It's not a sin. Jesus said you have houses. Hundredfold houses. You left one house. Let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm trying to let you know that as a believer, you can expect to have big things materially. Just, and be bold to say, "I'm a believer, I deserve this." I didn't get the point. Be bold to say, "I'm a believer, I deserve this." He said, "No man that's ever left this will not have houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands." He now said with persecutions. Now listen, I say this every time. I said it in my book too. It's amazing that people read this verse and believe that when you follow Jesus, you have persecutions. Yet they don't believe that when you follow Jesus, you have houses. You see, that is insincerity to the word of God. I'm being very sincere. You are being insincere in Bible study. If that persecution there is physical, see, If we have persecutions, and I'm not doubting it, there is persecution for following Jesus. If you have not seen it yet, it's coming. There is persecution. There are times, you listen to me teach on consecration. There are times you let go of things for the sake of the gospel. There are times you are persecuted. Sometimes you let go of your pride. Sometimes, in fact, a lot of things. Because you are born again, they can do this to you. It happens. So Jesus said you should expect it 100-fold. That's why I said if you're a believer, you don't want persecution, you're not ready to do ministry. Persecution comes 100-fold. Expect it. But also expect all these ones. Houses. Brethren. In fact, the brethren one has happened to you already. Look at how many brothers and sisters you have just that you got born again. If that's not happened to you, join Platform of Grace. No, you can't be here and not have brothers. You can't. Sisters. Plenty. Look around. Beautiful. How many of you grew up without an elder sister, but now you have an elder sister here? Or you grew up without an elder brother. Some of you have lost your parents in the flesh, but somehow it doesn't look like it. I didn't get the point. It doesn't look like it. Because God gives those things by the reason of following Him. He now said, and in the world to come. So in case you think He's talking about things that will happen in the future, He said, in the world to come, what you will have is what? That's life everlasting. But in this time, go deep. Houses, lands, brethren, 100-fold. You will have it. You see, expect to be blessed materially. See why I'm saying this? If you're not expecting this, you won't have it. I don't know if you remember, some of you are in Enugu Church. If you've not gotten that teaching I did on giving and receiving, please get it. Amen? Giving and receiving. I explained in the part 3 of that message that you can give money. Listen carefully. You know, I teach and I still teach thee today that money is not something you give for God to bless you. Hope you know. God is a good God. Say, Father, I gave this money, so give me whatever. God doesn't behave like that. God blesses you because He's good. But you see, you can give money and you stretch your faith. If you want to give, don't give without getting faith involved. Father, I'm about to give this 10,000. You remember that, what I told you to say? First of all, thank you, Father, for the privilege to give for the ministry. Thank you. It's a privilege, right? To give for the ministry is a privilege. Say, thank you, Father, for the privilege. He said, Lord, I am giving this for the advancement of the gospel. You heard me pray that prayer when we were taking offering. And then the third part, I will say, Father, as I give this, I know I will never lack. Now, you are not saying that. What you are not saying is, as I'm giving this 10 naira, Father, because of this 10 naira, multiply it to 10. No. What they are saying is, I'm giving this knowing that I can never be in lack. Paul will give, the people will send money to him. He will pray, my God shall supply your needs. I didn't get the point. So you can say, Father, as I'm giving this, I am confident that I will have much more. Sometimes tell yourself, this I am giving will be the least I will ever give. Because I know I will not lack. What do you think we give some people confidence in the book of Acts to give their lambs at their houses? They know God will not leave them stranded. Get that message, I explained that. What I'm saying is, when you are not expecting these things as a believer, you are not going to have them. Because there's somebody asking me right now, okay, before I get to that. So let me explain to you how I said there is provision for material things in salvation, right? Okay. Let me explain that to you. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. These are the Holy Ghost meeting, so don't be scared. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many men? Every man, or every man rather, to profit without. So, the manifest. This talks about the gift of the Spirit. What are the gifts of the Spirit again? List them. Word of. Second one. Word of knowledge. Prophecy. Faith. Working of miracles. Gift of healing. Tongues and interpretation. prayer force. Discerning of spirits. Now, how many men have this? All men. Who are the men? Believers, right? Now, do they observe that in these gifts, there is a gift called working of miracle? What is it used for? To cause. Well, okay, how do you receive working, the gift of working of miracles? Salvation, right? So, salvation gives us a gift called the gift of working of miracles. That gift can alter things in the natural, right? So, by God giving you a gift called working of miracles that can change the natural, don't you think He has handled those natural things too in salvation? Did you get the point? So, even though primarily we are not saved from sicknesses, but God in salvation gave us an ability that can deliver us from sicknesses. Did you get the gist? That's the provision there. Primarily, we are not saved from poverty. We are saved from sin. But God, in saving us from sin, gave us an ability that can handle lack. So, has God saved us from lack? Yes. In what way? By giving us an ability to deal with it at our will. So, by God giving us the gift of working of miracles, in salvation, He has also given us, He has also worked miracles for us. Did you get the point? So, is healing an act of salvation? Is miracle an act of salvation? Yes and no. No, because that is not the primary reason Jesus died. Yes, because the effect of salvation is that we receive the Holy Ghost that has empowered us to work miracles. Are you following me? So, there is provision for material things in salvation, because there is an ability that has been given to every one of us to make these things happen. Another thing that we have, for instance, that came to us through salvation is the name of Jesus. And that name can change anything. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, so when we got saved, God gave us a name. If that name has power to make a blind man see, and we got that name by salvation, it means that in salvation, when God gave us salvation, He has also made that blind man see. Do you get what I said now? If that name has the ability to handle lack, it means that when God gave us salvation, He has handled lack. Because in salvation, He gave us the ability to do it. Are you following me? So God's kindness is salvation. He dealt with sin and all that, and now gave us an ability to deal with every other thing. So that is provision. So this is why that's why you can begin to say things like, see, things will happen to me, good things, because I'm saved. Have you ever said that? Because I'm saved, good things will happen to me. What are you doing? You are exercising the name that Jesus gave us. The name of Jesus. That can work things. And so in salvation, we can see that there is a provision to make physical things possible and make it work. If you are still here, say amen. That's the provision like that. So when God gave us His gifts, that's the gift of the Spirit, and gave us the name of Jesus as salvation, He has made provision for every material need. So did God care for our material need in salvation? Yes. He gave us the ability, the gift to fix it. Are you following me at all? Come on, are you still here? So did salvation handle my lack? Yes. How? There's an ability in you to speak and it's what? So did salvation handle my business? Yes. There's an ability to wake up that dying business. It came into you when you got saved. It came into you. Did salvation handle my sickness? Yes. How? The gift of healing came into you at salvation. I spent these last days away, right? The ability of God, all the gifts of the Spirit came into the believer's salvation. Are you following me at all? If you are still here, say amen. So did God handle our physical things in salvation? Yes. He gave us an ability. He gave us a name. How many of you know about the name of Jesus? I have never used that name and it failed. Never. I have never used that name and it failed. Know what that name is? That name, you know what the name is? The name is the Greek word onoma. It means an authority. So when I say I have the name of Jesus, what I'm saying is I have the authority of Jesus. What it means is that when I talk, circumstances respond as if it is Jesus talking. And this became yours at salvation. A name that has influence in the heaven, on earth, and under the earth is yours at salvation. That means you can control things. So salvation also provided for you the ability to control things and make things happen. Say, I'm saved. Say, I am saved. Good things happen to me. Money comes my way. Provision comes my way. Health is mine. Healing is mine. Success is mine. I make progress. I make progress. So why are you saying all of this? Listen carefully. Because somebody is asking me, I wanted to say that if actually there is provision for material things in God's kindness and in salvation, why are some believers poor? Amen. Why are some believers poor? I'm going to answer you simply. Just like there are some believers. How many of you know that in Christ there is provision for righteousness? You know, right? How many of you know we have been given the ability to live right? But some believers are not living right. Does it mean the ability is not given? It just means some people are not using it. And on this note, I'm going to close tonight. Are you following me at all? Some are not using it. You say, if you know, somebody was arguing on Facebook that if God prospers people, why are some believers poor? There are believers that have died poor. You know, somebody put a post on Facebook. He said that a pastor should realize that there are some people that are not really bothered about material things and about money. That pastors should try not to make their members ambitious and money conscious. I laughed. I said, it's not true. See, I will make you ambitious. Me, if you don't like it, go. I will make you ambitious. How do you want to take the gospel far? Ejukwuaga London. What are you saying? Do people trek to London? Is it if you want to take the gospel to Afghanistan? You think Ope goes to London? I will make you ambitious. Me, you will not be small. Not here. You get the point? You won't. Because if you do not stretch your expectation to expect those things, you're going to remain normal. God, that's the first thing. People don't even expect anything big in their life. And many years after, the testimony will now be, the Lord made me poor. Which Lord? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? You became poor. You. Are you following me at all? Says there are some people that are not just ambitious, so you don't bother them with your ambition. Don't burden them with your ambition. Let me tell you, when they stay and they're not really ambitious, they're just pretending. By the time everybody around them begin to make it, it will come on them. What you now find that because you've not taught them to use the supernatural to get some things done, they become dubious because they'll try to get it through any means. They begin to cheat people, they begin to cook people, because since God cannot get involved, God should not also get involved, however I get it. Take it from me. Some believers are poor, some are not healed, some are sick. It doesn't mean there is no provision for these things in Christ. I understand that some people have used the wrong scriptures to teach these things. But I'm telling you, in Christ, there is a provision for your material needs. There is. Now, people that don't have it, or are not seeing it, it doesn't mean that it's not been given to them. Has money been given to us? Technically, yes. Because we have been given the ability to create it with our words. Hallelujah. Matthew 18 verse 18. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Have you read prayer for us? Whatsoever you bind on earth
proper NLT. Whatsoever you bind on earth, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth, so you can forbid wealth. And some people do with their words. You don't know what it means to be born again. Do you know that you do you know the kind of authority you carry as a believer? Now you now use that your mouth and begin to say some nonsense. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth, so you can permit wealth, you can permit health, you can permit healing. All these things are valuable and possible because you are a believer and your words carry power. So how do you forbid and permit things here? Verse 19. Also, I tell you this, if two of you shall agree concerning anything. So tonight you are going to agree and decide what to allow to continue your life and what to bring to an end. I don't know about you, I enjoy the good things of life. I tell that to myself every day. You see, this life, I will enjoy. Hey, I enjoy the good things of life. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. How many of you don't have a goodly heritage? That's why the lines must fall in pleasant places. Must. Because I have a goodly heritage. I told you guys, always expect a miracle. Always expect that something good will happen to me. It's part of God's kindness. In God being kind to give salvation, He made provision in that salvation for things that will cater for other things in life. Hallelujah. That's why I call them secondary effects. They're secondary effects. They're not salvation in themselves. I don't get the point. But they are effects of it. That is a provision. And the way this one functions, you know, the way this functions is the provision has been made. If you don't take hold of it, you may not have it. Or you will not have it. And so I'm going to challenge you to always expect something. Take hold of it. In God's kindness, He has provided all that we need. He has provided for us the good things of life. He has provided healing. And so if you're sick in your body, expect to be healed. Why? I'm a believer. I am a believer. How many of you know that Israel, when they were leaving Egypt, they walked the wilderness as a picture or a shadow of the church that we have today? I get the point. Yet they walked through the wilderness for 3 years. Not one of them was feeble. Not one was sick. About 2 million persons, not one person was sick. You know, people hear this like a short leg grip. You say, Ojoro, it's not true. What's wrong with you? They stayed in the wilderness. Their sandals were not bigger than their legs. As their legs were growing, the sandals were growing. What are you talking about? And that's a picture of the church, a shadow. We can have a church where nobody is sick. So you can say, I am of the true Israel. I cannot be sick. And so if you are seeing sicknesses or lack or anything in your life, I tell you what, take advantage of what you have in Christ. Seize it. When God gave us the gift of the Spirit, when He gave me the ability to work miracles, He settled me for life. Do you get the point? God has settled you. So the next time you cry to Him, He's looking at you. Don't ask God to do what He has asked you to do. He has settled you. But Hagin will tell of how I was in a vision. And then I've told this a couple of times. And say a demon. Say Jesus was talking to him in a vision. And you see a demon talking, making noise. He wasn't hearing Jesus correctly. And then he was wondering, how can a demon stand in the presence of Jesus and making noise? He didn't do anything. The demon remained and making noise. He got angry and shouted at the demon. And the demon left. And Jesus told him, if you didn't do that, I wouldn't have done it. Because I've given you the power to do everything. So you say, so God will sit down in heaven and see me suffer. Yes.
He shock you. He will. He will see that in heaven. Do you know everything has been given to you? He says, so why won't he just act? He will not just act because he will not go against your will. So if in your will you've accepted that God makes people poor, that everybody must not be too rich, well, he won't force you against your will. But if it's not, because I keep saying there are some of you that are sick. You have grown to accept that sickness as a way of life. You better reject it now. What I mean is you've become sick for a very long time. You've got to used to it. I just use glasses. I just take drugs every day. You get the point? I just used to, whenever I sleep and wake up, I have sharp headache for 30 minutes. Then it will now go. It's now a norm. Just sharp headache for some time. Listen, symptom is an invitation to sickness. It's not sickness in itself. What is going to happen is that sharp headache that you've ignored is going to graduate to full-blown migraine. Because if you let the devil, he will never stop. It's the truth. Anything you allow the Satan on, you think one day Satan will now challenge, take your, disturb your finance, and one day say, nonsense, I'm tired. No. He won't stop until he wrecks your life. When he's done with your finance, he moves to your health, tarnishes that one. He takes academics, finishes it. When he's done, he will kill you. If you let the devil, he won't stop. He will touch every aspect of your life. The Hebrews used to say, how can you have power and things are going wrong around you? Oh, now, come on, think about it. Think about it. If these things are, do you know how much? I've said this. The Old Testament saints believed in salvation in a promissory note. Look at the kind of things those. Look at Abraham. Leave your father. He left without anything. Do you know why? They were expecting God to do those things for them. Yeah. He left without anything. Leave your father's house. He just left. In less than how many, whatever, the guy became so wealthy. It was so visible. He left without a thing. What do you think will give Jacob confidence to steal his father, his brother's blessing and run away from the house? Not even with a shoe. He just ran. He knew, I'm coming back wealthy. Jesus asked the disciples, when I sent you out to preach, did you go with anything? They said no. He said, did you lack anything? They said no. So you can leave your house. And I'm saying this for some of you, that the Lord has called to do a walk somewhere. You are scared. See, you can leave your house without anything. I came into this town without anything. I didn't go with myself. Without anything. You can walk into a place without anything, and the Lord will bless you. Look to Abraham, thy father, and to Sarah, thy baby. I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him. Alone. God can call you alone and prosper you alone. It can take time. For some reason, I'm not here to explain tonight, but it will surely happen. I'm saying that sickness is not unto death. you can't die. You can't die with it. You can't. That it cannot kill you. You see, if you don't know that reason, I am a believer. I carry power. This is the headquarter of the power of God. I'm telling you. This is the headquarter of the power of God. And then I'll die sick. Three coronavirus, whatever. When they ease the lockdown. Our church, church, it's still happening, right? I told people something. I don't know what was going to happen. You know what meeting? He had Resurfact.
You know, right? I don't yet understand. I don't know for you. How I'll be praying in tongues and contact coronavirus. I don't understand it. I'm telling you, I don't understand how I'll be doing. We are just holding our hands. Shabarakatalab and then koro. It's not possible. When I thought about it, I thought about racial facts. Should we hold this? Should we not hold this? And I know something. How can I be releasing spiritual sounds from this mouth and then getting? No, it's not possible. It's only possible if you are not conscious of the workings of God in you. I am conscious of the fact that if I touch a leper, I will not contact leprosy. He will contact healing. I'm sure. So because I have that consciousness, it's in everybody. But some people are not. I'm trying to make you conscious of it. I get the point. Do you know when you get into a business, that's how to enter. Joseph, Genesis 39 verse 2, because of his presence in the house of Potiphar. Do you know sometimes you can get into a company and say, because I have come, everything will start working well. Why? I'm a believer. This is the headquarter of God's power. I am not God's guest house. I'm his house. No, God is not passing 3 nights inside my life. I don't get the point. It's not a one night stand. It's where he lives. I follow him at all. This is the headquarter of and the entirety of God's dynamis. And then you expect. So if I am sick or I'm struggling, I've refused to engage. What is alive on my inside? I came to challenge you. You see, when God gave us salvation, he gave us the Spirit. When he gave us the Spirit, he gave us the gift of the Spirit. In the gifts of the Spirit, he gave us the working of miracles. He didn't end there. He gave us a name that everything responds to. That day was the day you know how to settle one boy? God settled you on earth the day he gave you the power of God. If you're not Igbo here, I mean, my boy is an apprentice. You go to apprenticeship for 6 years or 7 years, and your boss settles you. God has settled you. The day he gave you the name of Jesus, and say, use for free. You know, I told you in the day, do you observe? Oh, I love Jesus. Do you observe that this name, even though God is not a killer, people use it to kill? You know, I told you that in the day. That a person can use the power of God independent of God's approval. Just like Elijah. Elijah used the power of God to call down fire to roast people. Yet it worked. In the New Testament, Jesus was not pleased with it. Jesus said, no, you don't know the manner of spirit. So God obviously did not approve what Elijah said or did. But God couldn't turn him down. Do you know what I said? God didn't approve of Elijah. He told James and John, you don't know the manner of spirit you are carrying. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men. He has come to save them. So he was not in support. But even at that, God could not say no. Not to talk of when you now open this, your two mouths, and now begin to take hold of what is rightfully, come on. You be bold to say, I can never be broke. Be bold to say, I can never be stranded. Be bold to say, the Bible said houses, I have houses. The Bible said hundredfold of lands. Come on. Let me close. I say this every time when I teach on this. If some people can visit native doctors and use their power to heal themselves or use their power to prosper themselves, I can engage the power of God. And everything will change. So, in God's kindness, we find God providing for everything that man will ever need in giving us the power of God. So I have the power of God. Because of time, I'm going to stop, so we'll pray. But I'm going to leave you with an instruction. Don't stop talking. The power is there in your mouth. Don't stop. Even after this meeting, as you leave this meeting, there are confessions. I say this all the time when I teach on faith. You must do constantly. 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 I can never be stranded. I have a taste of the good things of life. I have a taste.
taste of the good things of life. Good things happen to me. Good things happen to me. Good things happen to me. What do I have to do? I will engage the power of God on my inside. That same power was at work in John G. Lake. And they would drop a virus in his hand. That same power. John G. Lake told them it's eternal life. He told them, see, life is working in me. If you drop that in, it will die. And they would drop a life virus or whatever it is, and it will die. That is what you are carrying. And you are just sitting down like that. That's what, see, that thing in a shadow entered the house of Obed-Edom in 3 months. And you've been carrying a housing that thing for how many years? It's time to engage it. It has stayed there for too long. It's time to engage it. And not just in this meeting. That's why if you are sick, I'm trying to show you that it's illegal for you to be sick. It's a sin. Sickness is an illegal thing. Same thing with poverty. I get the point. Same thing, it's an illegal thing. So I should just stay in my house and be praying. I should not do anything. That's not what I'm saying. Do health about work, do everything. But you see the power of God. You see the power of God. He can teach you to make wealth. I'm telling you by God. Check everybody. Check David. Check Solomon. Check the nation of Israel generally. See how God prospered. You know, some people read about Paul and they think, I don't have time tonight. Let me just leave it. They think Paul lived all his life doing Babi Yala. No. Paul said in Philippians 4, right now I have everything I need because of the gift you sent. The gift one church sent. That's Philippians 4:18. The gift one church sent, he said, I have everything I need and more. You think Paul lived all his life begging? There are persecutions for the gospel. Okay, there are sacrifices for the gospel. Do you understand the point? There are such things. But there is still wealth in this gospel. Because did you get what I said? We are going far. We don't trek to that place. He said, forget that thing. Ebonyo soru, only jege. See, let me tell you. Before Onyije arrives, Onyije also has gone to another place. Don't talk like that. We are taking the gospel to the nations. Hope you know. We will preach the gospel to all nations. We will not trek to the place. We will fly. We will fly. And you don't enter flight for free. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody goes to the, you don't trek. It's the whole thing to keep disappearing. Yes, the same power that can make you disappear can make you have money. So why not have the money? That is the same power. You want to disappear? I will disappear too. See, let me tell you something. In the day you got salvation, God settled you. The day you got salvation, God settled you for your physical things. Never complain about physical things. The power has been given. Just take hold of it. Say healing is mine. Say health is mine. Say wholeness is mine. Vitality is mine. Say prosperity is mine. Increase is mine. Success is mine. I make progress. Hey, yeah, I make progress. These things are mine. I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. I believe in the power of God to change situations, to turn my businesses around, to turn my health around. I'm not a doubter. Good things happen to me. The good things of life are at my disposal. I have them. I enjoy them. They are mine in Christ. I celebrate them.
When God gave me Jesus, He gave me the Holy Ghost. He gave me an anointing. He gave me His power. By that power, I have the good things of life. By that power, I have increase. By that power, I have good health. By that power, I lack no good thing. Good things happen to me. I am entitled to the good things of life. Money, cars, houses, finance, lands, success, a good marriage, a good health, the good things of life. I have what I say. I have what I say. I have what I say. Just pray, just pray, just pray, just pray. Pray if you want to pray. It's time. Lay hold. Just pray. Let me hear you pray. Ayagabaladash. Salvation is a complete job. It's a complete job. He gave us Jesus. He gave us forgiveness of sin. He gave us Himself. In Himself, He gave us the gift of the Spirit. In that gift, He gave us the working of miracles. He gave us a name. So the name of Jesus. It's time. If you have any expectation for this Zoe, that is a material thing, that is a physical thing, it's time. Start engaging them. Start engaging for them. Start. This is the night. This is the night. This is the night. Yabalada Shagadea. This is the night. I'm giving you time. When God gave us Jesus, He gave us Himself. He gave us everything. When He saved me, He gave me a name. He gave me an anointing. He gave me power to rot things. He gave me. You can have boldness to face life. Joseph entered the house of Potiphar. The Bible said everything prospered because God favored us, for the Lord was with him. He was so clear. Genesis 39 verse 2. The Lord prospered the house of Potiphar because God was with Joseph. So the presence of God with a man can cause physical prosperity. That is amazing. Look unto Abraham thy father and Sarah thy body, even though I called him alone. And so you can start alone. You can start alone, but God will increase and prosper you. For I have been young and now I'm old. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. Because I'm a righteous man, I can never be forsaken. I can never be forsaken. I can never be forsaken. I am entitled to the good things of life. And so even though things might not be working well now, I will keep holding on, because I know this is mine. I will keep holding on and keep speaking positive words. Speak over your health. Speak over your business. Speak over your finance. The Lord prospered Jacob. He prospered Isaac. He didn't leave Paul a pauper. He didn't leave Peter a pauper. He cannot leave you like that. He has been a healer. The healing Jesus is still here tonight. The healing Jesus is still here tonight. The healing Jesus. Hey, Abba. Creative miracles. There is a miracle of replacement. Replacement of body parts is happening right now. Replacement of body parts. Replacement of body parts. Body parts, body organs that have been damaged. There is replacement for them. There is replacement for them. Someone has a hole in your teeth. That hole is being filled up right now. Replacement of body parts. Replacement of body parts right now. By the power of God. Broken bones. Broken bones mended. Broken bones mended. Cancer gone. Damaged lungs fixed up. Damaged lungs fixed up. Damaged kidneys fixed up. By the power of God. As I'm mentioning your case, it's coming to you. A hole in the heart. A hole in the heart. A hole in your heart. Jesus is filling it up. New hearts being created. A damaged eye receives the sight now. A damaged ear begins to hear now. A broken bone is fixed up now by the power of God. Blood related issues. Blood related issues. Blood related issues. Shortage of blood. A bad blood. A bad blood group. A bad genotype. Everything is changing now. By the power of God. By the power of God. Diseases that are associated with the blood. That is healing tonight. Higher. Mukeji, I can't regress your moment. Quaggy, take you. Mukejerekiaka. Jehovah Sinaya, Kejerekiaka. Mukeji, I can't regress your moment. Quaggy, take you. Osinaya kejere kiaka. Shamalia nana, Jehovah kejere kiaka. Atule kukika mnonyere. Elelanya, buruburu nujo. Dina mwemwem, puchine kekyo. Eka wagyume, kejere kiaka. Ekechi akari kesio mume kwa kidegio ngeye regiaka. Child, there is so much happening here. Ngeji akari kesio mume kwa kidegio ngeye. Ngeji akari kesio mume, ngeji akwagi degio. Ngeji akari kesio mume, kwagi degio. Ngeji akari akari kesio mume, kwagi degio. There is healing in this place. There is healing. There is healing. There is healing. There is healing. Get set for testimonies. Get set. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.